Hallelujah. Good morning. It's a good morning today. Good morning. We are blessed. Amen. Well, the message that's on my heart today is that we are blessed to be a blessing. And Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will come alive in our hearts, in our minds, that it will just, it'll be anointed, that we grasp it and receive your word with gladness. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, in Galatians 3:29, Paul tells us that everyone that's of faith are children of Abraham and have his blessings. And so because we're born again, because we believe in Jesus, Abraham's blessings are ours. They belong to us as well. And we're going to be reading Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And most of my scriptures are New King James Version. But if it's a different version, I will try to let you know so you'll know what we're reading. I think we're going to have them on the screen here in a little bit. Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Everybody say, and I shall be a blessing. Yes, I am a blessing. Hallelujah. And I will bless those that bless you and curse him who curses you. Remember, that's God saying that. That wasn't our part. Just threw that in. Okay. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In me, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let's bring it close to home. In me, all the families of Douglas shall be blessed. Amen? In me, because I have the blessing of God on me and I'm here. And we want God's blessings to share and turn around. Next, we're going to 1 Peter 3, 9 and 10. And it says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So when we bless others, we inherit a blessing. It says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We inherit blessing by blessing others. We can't afford to talk bad about people. We can't afford to curse them or say negative things to or about them. We can't afford to gossip, murmur any kind of attack on another, because we pass those things on back to us. It's a boomerang effect. When you bless others, blessings come back to you. When you curse others, that's what comes back to you, and we don't want that, do we? So we have to put a guard on our mouth and be people that bless. Amen? God has deemed that blessings come to us only as we say and do good to others. We inherit blessing, blessing others. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are creative. When we speak them, we give them life. Evil thoughts in our mind are like temptations from Satan. And if we speak them, we birth them. But when we have impressions from God, when he deals in our heart, we have impressions from God or from his word. When we speak them, we give them life. When we decree God's word, it's a creative power that changes situations. Job 22:28 in the Old King James Version says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Decree is a legal term that carries the same level of authority as a law being enacted or an order being issued by a court. Decree is a legal word, hallelujah, that has power and authority, and it sets things in order. We can decree something that God has promised or purposed for us that we may not be fully experiencing yet. But when we verbally agree or decree God's purpose for us, it opens the way for God's purpose to become a tangible reality in our life. That's why it's important to speak the word, declare the word, decree the word. When we decree God's word, written or prophetic, not only are we establishing the blessing, we are also disabling anything that would come against that blessing. Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified said, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it.'" When we put voice to God's word, we come into agreement with it and with him and with his word, and then he performs it for us. We speak it, we believe it, he performs it. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:20 in the New American Standard Bible says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." Angels have been given an assignment from God to obey the voice of his word. So when we decree God's word, the angels are being released to do the work of the word. So God watches over his word to perform it. He has set angels to be responsive to his word. So when we speak his word, hallelujah, things happen through God's power. Mark 7:15 says, "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man." So it's real careful. We need to be very careful what we let out of our mouth. Several years back, we had a divine encounter with a Navajo lady in Schindler, Arizona. And just the day before, the Lord had given her a word. And this, we wrote it down, and this is what it says. "When evil thoughts come to your mind, stop them there. Don't let them come out of your mouth. Speak happy words that encourage and bless." That goes back to that old saying, if you can't say anything good, just don't say anything at all. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, or turmoil, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." When we say evil things, that's part of the enemy's plans, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, he just backs off. You know, and we need the Holy Spirit in our life every moment, every day. We need his presence. And so we don't want to say things that are going to grieve God's Spirit. Have you guys ever heard the saying, a little bird told me? Well, you can find that in Ecclesiastes 10:20. It says, do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. You know, what we say has a way of getting out there. And sometimes we'll say, I wish I would have never said that. Because even things we didn't really mean to say, you know, we give them life when we speak them. And we just need to put a guard on our thoughts and mouth. Matthew 22:37 through 39. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So who's first here? Who are we to love first? God. God is the first one we're to love, and then we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we're to love ourselves too. It's important that we love ourselves because I think a lot of abuse happens, like abusive situations in marriages and whatever, take place because the person hates themselves. And so they end up abusing someone else. So it's important that we're at peace within ourselves. And love is just a free gift. It's free-flowing. Love is there. If someone says, if you love me, you'll do what I want you to do. You'll do this or you'll do that. That doesn't have anything to do with love. That's manipulative. That's manipulation. We are to love one another, not try to control one another. You know, it's so easy for us to want people to do what we want them to do. And that's natural, and yet it's not of God. And when we're that way, when we're trying to control other people, it bothers the person you're trying to control. It binds them up. It grieves them. And you're not happy with it either, because then you're mad and frustrated when they don't do what you want them to do. So it's really bad for both parties. Love edifies. There's a saying that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Love completes. It never competes. Love is not competitive. It completes. It makes whole. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of this love is a fruit of the Spirit. So love comes by being connected to God, being connected, being joined with Him, and being in fellowship with Him. Walking in love is a matter of maintaining a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given to us. So where does love come from? Through the Holy Spirit. That's another reason we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, because He'll back up, and we need the Holy Spirit to be able to love. Love God and love ourselves, love our neighbor. Amen. As we stay connected with God through fellowship and staying full of the Holy Spirit, we're filled with His love, which then reflects to others. As we renew our mind with God-influenced thoughts, our actions have to follow, and then we become a blessing to those around us instead of a hindrance. When our mind's full of the Word and we're in fellowship with God, we become a blessing instead of a hindrance. When I am me-focused, I demand. When I'm spirit-focused, I love. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read 4 through 9 in the Amplified, just because it's so good. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. You know, ouch. Amen. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I mean, sometimes I get touchy, and, you know, I need to know that's not God's love. That's my flesh that's touchy. That wasn't God. Hallelujah. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. This is almost funny because it's kind of opposite of our carnal nature. We really do notice when people do us wrong, right? And so, but love doesn't. It does not rejoice at injustice when right and truth prevail, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Love never, ever fails. Hallelujah. God's love is so awesome, and we receive that love through the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to stay in fellowship with the Lord, because that's where the love comes from. That's our measuring stick. That's what motivates us. Hallelujah. The love of God is so beautiful. And love is unconditional. You know, it says here that love sees the best in everyone. A lot of times what we see in people is their flesh, you know, that's coming out right here. But love sees beyond that. What's the treasure in this person? Everyone has a treasure inside. You know, see deeper than the surface. See with eyes of love. We're going to read some principles for our Christian life out of Philippians 2. We're going to read 3 through 9 and then verse 13 in the New Living Translation. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest. I mean, we do look after our interest, but it said don't look only after your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus has. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every name. For God is work, verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Praise God for him working in us. He says he's working in us to give the desire and power to do what pleases him. Hallelujah. We have everything we need inside of us with the Holy Spirit to do what pleases God. The proper Christian attitude is to do things for the right reasons, to look out for the interest of others, be willing to serve God and others. The attitude of Jesus was selfless. He gave himself. He was selfless. He was secure. Jesus was secure. He knew who he was. Knowing who we are in Jesus, in God, fills us with confidence and security. It doesn't make us proudful. Knowing who we are in Jesus, we have confidence and security in that. And Jesus was submissive to the vision, plan, and will of God. He was obedient. And as his followers, we need to be submissive to his vision, to his plan, and to the will of God. We need to be obedient. Obedient sons and daughters. None of us have a perfect attitude all the time. Has anybody noticed that? You know, it comes and goes. But we must all continually adjust our attitude to be Christ-like. And there's one way to adjust our attitude is to get lost in worship and worship God. We're going to read Psalms 34, 1 through 3. It says, I will. This is an act of our will. We make a decision to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter how I feel or what I want to do, I'm making a decision that I'm going to worship God. 2, my soul, or my will, mind, and emotions will make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So worshiping God comes from a decision that we make that we're going to worship God at all times. Do we always feel like worshiping God? No, but we can make an intelligent decision that I'm going to worship God. And when we begin to worship and praise God, then the second verse said, my soul. When we praise God, then it gets over on our emotions. And we're happy to praise God. It feels good, and we're joyous, and it just affects our soul where we're happy to be praising the Lord. We enjoy it. We love it. It feels so good to worship God. And then the third verse, it says, come, let us worship the Lord together. So when we worship the Lord and get in the spirit of worship and praising God, it's contagious. It gets off on other people. They want to join us in the worship and in the praise and in rejoicing in God. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. So that's another way to have our attitude adjusted is to get into God's word. Because when we read God's word, it's a mirror showing us what's in our own heart, and we can make the adjustments that we need to make, and we can repent of, you know, anything there that's not there. If we have anger, resentment, or fear, or worry, you know, those things are not of God. And so when we read his word shows that. And we can repent and turn from that and come back into his peace and his goodwill. Another way to make adjustments in our attitude is to choose to think on good things. You know, we're going to think on what we put in there. So it's making a choice to think right. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we adjust our attitude by thinking right. Worship in God, being in His Word, and thinking about the right things. So many thoughts go through our mind every day. And bad thoughts are like temptations from Satan. Don't let them out of your mouth. Don't dwell on them. Don't let them hang around there. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hallelujah. An attitude is an inward feeling expressed by an outward behavior. So whatever your attitudes on the inside is, it's going to come out. Our expression that we usually expresses inwardly what we're feeling. And of all the things we wear, our expression is the most important. The smile on your face is more important than the makeup you use or the clothes you wear or how you look. Your expression is the most important thing what we wear. Attitude is the only difference between success and failure. Years ago, there was a shoe company in England that were sending people out to sell shoes, and they sent these two men to this island to sell shoes. And when they got there, nobody wore shoes. And the first salesman went and wired the company, and he said, "I'm coming home right away. I'm coming straight back home. Nobody here wears shoes." And pretty soon, the company got a wire from the second salesman. And he said, "Quick, send me all the shoes you can send me. Everybody on the island needs shoes." So who was a success? You know, you can say, "Everybody in this town is so hard. They don't love God. They're not serving God." Or you can say, "Everybody here needs Jesus." And it will make a difference between success or failure. Hallelujah. You can do more with a great attitude than with great intelligence or great ability. Your attitude will either be your best friend or your worst enemy. Your attitude will be the thing that draws or repels. And your attitude is never content until it's expressed. Have you noticed that? When you start getting a bad attitude in this, you know, inside of you, and you start thinking about things and get a bad attitude, you're going to say something sooner or later. Usually the longer you wait, the worse it comes out. You know, so if you have, you know, you need to take care of the attitude just right off, because it will come out and you'll be sorry about it later. Our attitude determines our approach to life, and life is too short to be miserable all the time. Why be miserable when you can be happy? There was a man that had two sons, and one Christmas, he bought them ponies for Christmas. And Christmas morning, he just decided, "I'm going to experiment here." He got two buckets of horse manure, and he wrote the boys' names on the buckets, two buckets. He says, "I'm going to just see what they do." And he hid behind the curtain. And pretty soon the first son came by and he said, "Gross, yuck, it's horrible. All life ever gives me is manure." Well, that may not be exactly what he said, but anyway. Then he went on his way, and pretty soon the second boy came in, and he saw that, and he started jumping up and down, and he said, "We have a horse, we have a horse," which was true. What is our view in life? How do we see things? Others can't change us. We must change ourselves. We're the only one that can change us. How did the Apostle Paul overcome his terrible background? I mean, he was a bad guy. He went about chasing Christians, stoning them, putting them in prison. He was awful. But Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." You know, God has forgiven us. It's past. It's gone. It's back there. Don't stay looking at the back. Don't let Satan keep bringing up the mistakes you made in the past. Don't do it. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep looking forward. If you drive only looking in your rear view mirror, what are you going to do? Crash. You know, I've noticed I can be driving down the road and I'll look at something interesting and all of a sudden I realize, oh, I'm going that way. We follow where we're looking. We go with what our eye is set on. We need to set our eye on Jesus. Let the things that's behind us be behind us. They're past. They're over. They're done. We're forgiven. We're whole. And so we just go forward and keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We are individually responsible for our view of life. We can't tailor-make all situations to fit our lives perfectly. However, it is possible to tailor-make our attitude to fit anywhere and anything. On September 29th, Jessica's son, Marcus, was diagnosed with brain tumor that turned out to be malignant. And then praise God, now they can't find any cancer. There's cancer's gone. They've done all extensive search and it's gone. Praise God. God's with them through it. But it's been a long, hard thing. And I think it was about a month or two ago, Jessica put this article on her, I think it was her Facebook page, and it so impressed me, her attitude, that we'd ask her if we could use it, and I want to read it to you. Because, you know, we do have trials come our way. We have things come our way. How are we going to react to them? Okay, Jessica wrote, "I haven't had much time to post and express my gratitude for what everyone has done for me and my son. We have had so much support, and so many people don't know us personally have gone out of their way to help. I thank you for all the donations, the encouraging words, offering me a shoulder to cry on, and most importantly, your prayers. With so many bad things going on in the world, we sometimes don't focus on all the good in the world. Even in a difficult situation, I still focus on the good. Being in ICU, I have seen parents rushed in with children who have had severe traumas. I have seen the faces of parents who have had to go home without their children who passed away. There are people who are going through worse things than I am. Our lives can change in an instant, and you never think it's going to happen to you. I never thought I would be seeing my son's face all over donation posters and fundraiser posters, but that's a reality right now. So many people complain about the small things in life, but do they really matter? Something your kid's school does. If you have to wait in line for a long time. If you have to wait at the doctor's office too long. In Marcos's unit in the hospital, there are so many children fighting cancer, yet they still run around and play and find joy in everything. Why is it that as we become adults, we forget about the joy in things? We are always too busy. We are always too preoccupied. We always feel we need to be better than someone else. We care too much about what the world thinks of us, and that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is every day we wake up, we have a purpose, and we have another chance to do something great. We have a chance to make a difference. Complaints get us nowhere. Actions do. I encourage you all to cherish every moment in life, even the annoying moments, even the bad moments, because you're still here to enjoy them. Enjoy your kids and cherish them because you just don't know how your world can change forever. I am blessed. My son is recovering, and I have faith in God's timing. Don't take anything for granted. I encourage you all to find joy in every moment. That's just such a shining example of a good attitude in the midst of a hard situation. Our attitude determines our relationship with others. The golden rule in Matthew 7:12 says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." However you treat other people, it's how you're going to be treated. But our attitude can change problems into blessings. We're going to read Romans 5:3-5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. So even in the midst of tribulation, praise God. Worship God in the midst of the trials. James 4:2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So even it says, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Well, that's not our natural reaction. But by having a good attitude, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, will take us through them in victory. In the old days, they had sail ships that would go from England to the New World, and they would go by ships all over the world with their sails. And when a storm came, the storm could either sink the ship or it could send it more quickly on its way, depending on how they adjusted the sails. Well, whether we sink or go quicker toward our goal depends on how we set our attitude in the midst of trials. What's the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? Our attitude toward it. whether life grinds you down or polishes you depends on what you're made of. That's just too good. I've got to say it again. Whether life grinds you down or polishes you depends on what you're made out of, is the word in your life. Have you made a decision? I'm going to worship the Lord at all times. You know, what's your anchor? Where is your anchor? What's on the inside? Adversity is prosperity to those who possess a great attitude. Kites rise against, not with, the wind. The Apostle Paul wrote most of his letters from jail. Few people knew Abraham Lincoln until the Civil War showed his character. Martin Luther translated the Bible while he was in prison. When people go through trials, they either come out sweet or bitter. And we've seen that. We've seen people go through trials and they can turn out bitter and angry at God and angry at people and angry and angry and angry. But they can also, if they put their trust in the Lord and determine that they're going to praise God through it all, they come out sweet. They come out just sweet. Hallelujah. These seem like, it's a very basic teaching, but it's so vital that we get a hold of it in our hearts. Because what we put out comes back again. And God's called us to be a blessing, and He wants to bless us, but it's important that we bless people. You know, and see the best in everyone. Love them. They're God's children. Some of them are His lost children, but they're His children that He wants back in His arms. Every one of them. You know, and so many people get hung up, you know, have done things wrong in their life, and they tend to just turn bitter and turn into themselves, and they seem to look back. But you know, God forgives, He washes it white as snow when you repent, and you've got to keep your eye on Jesus, on His word, praises, His praises in your mouth. Hallelujah. You have to guard what you're thinking, and you will keep your eye on the goal, and you will come out beautiful and solid and wonderful. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's here. The Holy Spirit is within us and upon us and around us to help us, to be our guide and our comfort and to take us through to victory. Whatever we're facing, God is there to see us through. Amen. Well, I'm going to read Genesis 12, 2 and 3 again. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Say, I shall be a blessing. Let's do it again. I shall be a blessing. Amen. And I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In me, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In me, all the families of Cochise County shall be blessed. In me, all the families of Douglas shall be blessed. Because I am blessed and I share my blessings. They multiply. Blessings multiply. Hallelujah. They just multiply. There's multiplication in blessings. And as we bless, God's goodness multiplies. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel somebody has something, a testimony, something on your heart, something made real to you during this. If not, that's fine. Hallelujah. But if you have something that just kind of burning there, just it's fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word takes root in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that this word, this day, will be rooted in our hearts, be rooted deep, that we will be very careful what we say, that we will determine that if our attitude goes wrong, that we know how to fix it. And that's through meditating on your word, through worshiping you, through thinking right. Lord, we just thank you for strengthening us in your power. Strengthen us, Lord, today. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the good things that you have in store for every person here today. We thank you that you will bless them, that you will use them, that you will keep them safe. Father, we lift up our community this morning. I just feel led to pray for Douglas. I lift up our community. We are the watchman on the wall. We are part of the watchman on the wall over our community. Oh, Father, and we just ask that your peace will cover this town. We thank you, Lord, that your light will shine and dispel the works of darkness. We bind the spirit of depression. We bind the spirit of suicide and we say, you shall have no place here. We cover this town with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over all spirits of violence and hate and anger. And we say, no, not in my town, not in our town. We ask that your blood covers, we sprinkle the blood of Jesus. We put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of our city. Oh, and the plans of the enemy is just going to have to go right on by. They can't penetrate. We thank you, Lord, for the precious people of this town. Father, Father, you came to set the captive free. And there's many, many people in this town that's captive to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography. God, you came to set the captive free. We cry out for freedom, 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 freedom to reign in our town. Oh, that these people that are bound, that you will begin to work on their hearts and give them a hunger for you. Father, we ask you to send messengers to them with a message of hope. And Father, we say, I'm willing and obedient. Send me, Lord, send me to those that's hurting and needing help. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for covering our community with love, with your love, with your peace. Oh, ane ke sholavate alohoriande. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of growth. We thank you, Lord, that prodigals that are away from you will come home to Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that that you will bring restoration in families that are hurt and divided. We thank you, Lord, for healing the brokenhearted, for setting the captive free. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that your sons and your daughters that are lost will come home to you, that they will come home to you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lama Hayoshe, we thank you, Lord, for divine encounters with God happening in every segment of society, in every age group, all over this community, Lord. Let people have divine experiences with the presence of God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for bringing the lost home. We thank you for bringing the bound home, for setting the captive free. We thank you, Lord, for blessing our community. We thank you for blessing the finances of our community, for bringing us new businesses that will be successful here and bless our community. We thank you, Lord, for an anointing of healing flowing through our community, that bodies, hearts would be healed, that emotions be healed, that bodies be healed, that relationships be healed and made whole and brought to peace. Lord, we just thank you for your preciousness and for your love. You are truly a mighty and a great God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a good God. He's so precious and he loves us so much. Hallelujah. Well, Nina turned this over to me early, and so we're through early. But they may not be finished up there. So if there's children up there doing presents, you may have to wait a little bit on them. So we get to have time to fellowship together while we're waiting on our children to finish wrapping all their presents. But go and have a blessed, blessed, blessed week. Amen.